do for the glory that awaited on the other side of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we want to follow in your footsteps and surrender ourselves to you, Lord. Give our lives for your calling and for your love for this world, Lord. So thank you. Thank you, Father God, for blessing our time and your word. Meet with us today, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, turn in your Bibles. We're going to be in a few different verses. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, for a moment. Psalms was probably right in the middle of your Bible, and Isaiah is a few books past that. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit about living with fear, living with anxiety. Is worry a sin? Was somebody, a few people's questions, how do we deal with that? But today's was, hey, Pastor, how do you live without fear? Now, we always want to get to the place where there's no pain, right? No problems, no struggles, no fear, right? That's our goal. That's our goal in life. How realistic of a goal is that? If that's what you're waiting for to be happy, you will never be happy. Sorry. What a downer I am, right? But that's reality, right? This side of heaven, we will not live without problems and struggles and pain. We will not live without fear, because this is the reality of this side of heaven. So the question is not, how do I live without fear? The question is, how do I live with fear? Let's stand together as we dig into the Word. We'll answer some more questions like we did during communion. Let's read together. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Lord, help us to deal with some of the things that our brothers and sisters around the world deal with on a much more regular basis, on a daily basis, on a this is life basis. But Lord, help us to be able to answer this question of how do we deal with fear in this world? Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. So how do you live with fear? I don't know, maybe to some of you, you're like, I don't know about your theology here, Pastor. The Bible says don't be anxious for nothing. That's a command, don't be anxious. You're right. God is telling us not to be anxious. But the reality is, God has also told us how to live in the midst of a world that has in it, a part of it, fearful things, right? So I thought, how better to learn how to deal with fear than to look at the persecuted church? How do they deal with fear? Do you think that they deal with fear? Should we go to somebody that is fearing for the life of his family, his job, his livelihood, his ability to feed his children, and say, You really should have more faith than that. I don't think so. I don't think we have that high ground, so to speak. We've talked about settling the question, is God eternal, or is life eternal, or is life temporal? That helps us to set aside the fear and deal with things in the right perspective. We also have the question, is God real? Is God real? It really is a pretty pertinent question in regards to the whole thing of fear. We're going to read watch a video that persecution.com had about a guy in North Korea and a pastor over the border in China and their interaction and how God dealt with them and how they worked through some of these things. They answered this question, is God real? They answered this question, have you not known, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow faint. He doesn't grow weary. His understanding for us down here is unsearchable. They've answered this question. Let's go ahead and run the video. Let's make sure the sound is good enough we can hear it well.
이 초등학교에서 우리는 선교사들은 모두 성냥이들.
In the primary school, we were taught that all missionaries were terrorists.
나중엔 잘해가지만.
They told us that a missionary will be nice to you at first, but when they get you into their homes, then they will kill you and eat your liver.
성냥이들이라고 배웠습니다. 우리 마을에는 먹을 것도 없고
There was no food and no work in my village.
다른 사람처럼 살았습니다.
Like some others, I snuck across the mountain border into China.
베개 팔려고 버섯을 땄는데
I picked mushrooms in the hopes of selling them in Chiang Mai. I don't speak Chinese at all.
한 사람을 만났습니다.
But in the mountains, I met a man.
구입할 거면 연락 하나 주가십.
그 사람이 내가 딴 버섯을 팔았다고
I can sell those for you.
냐오.
And he didn't cheat me. He gave me all the money from the sale. At that time, I didn't know he was Pastor Han.
再见.
再见.
Over the next 2 years, I went back several times. Each time, Pastor Han helped me. One day, I asked why he would do this. For he himself was in great danger for assisting a North Korea. It is because I am a Christian, he said. That made me afraid. Was he going to eat my liver?
하나님은 살아계셔.
One day, Pastor Han said to me, God is real. There is hope for every person. Could not believe he would say that word, God. Nobody says that word. We know it is an act of treason. To speak the name of God can lead to soldiers coming in the night. No one will ever dare ask where you have gone.
하루는
One day I asked Pastor Han for a Bible. He knew that if I was caught with a Bible, my life would be in danger. But over time, I persuaded him. I showed the Bible to my wife. At first, she refused to even look at it. Why would you bring that here? She cried. She knew that if anyone reported that you had even glanced at a Bible, you would be arrested. And not just you. You and all your relatives sent to the concentration camps for years and years and years. Over time, my wife too learned that God is real. She found hope. And then I shared the word of God with my best friend. It was very dangerous for me to share.
다시는 연락하지 말라. 우리 모두한테 좋은 소식이야.
It was very dangerous for him to listen. One day in the summer of 2016, we heard that some North Korean assassins were being honored by the government, rewarded for their good work for killing a terrorist missionary in Chiang Mai. We knew it was Pastor Han. Who else could it be?
우리는 너무 두려웠습니다.
We were frightened. Did they know he was my friend? Did they know I had met with him many times?
내가 여러 번 목사를 만났다는 것을 알았을까?
이러다 우리도 죽는 거 아닙니까?
아, 방영통
한 목사님은
Pastor Han gave his life, but he gave hope to me and to many other North Koreans. And despite the ever-present danger, many of us will continue to share the message that God is real. We hope that our sacrifice, when the day comes, will be worthwhile, just like it was for Pastor Han.
한 목사님이 그러셨던 것처럼 말입니다.
People that had answered the question, is God real? Is his word that precious that and God so real that they would risk not only their own lives, but the lives of their family members, not even just their immediate, but their extended families? Sang Chul answered the question, God is real. Pastor Han answered the question, even unto death, that God is real. How did they deal with fear? They certainly didn't deal in a life without fear, did they? They chose to live their life in spite of fear. How do you live without fear? How do you live with fear? There's an example. Another question to settle for yourself in dealing with how do I live without fear is, do I know God's love? Do I really know and understand God's love? We're in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, if you're following in your Bibles. 1 John is almost to the end. We got into Revelations, back up a couple of books. Revelation is the last book, and I think 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are just before that. Does this real and everlasting Creator and God really love me? Have I really gotten to the point where I know? Ever hear somebody say, you know that you know that you know something? How many people have heard that term before? I know that I know that I know that God has forgiven me. It is deep, a truth that I know that God has forgiven me. I know that God loves me no matter what's going on around me. I know it, I know it, I know it. It's that kind of a knowing. In verse 16 of 1 John chapter 4, it says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. He is love, Scripture says. And whoever abides in love abides in God, which makes sense since God is love, right? Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides or dwells in him. By this, by what? By knowing and believing the love of God has for us. By that is love perfected within us. Through that knowing that I know that I know that God loves me. So that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. If he's in us, we are as he is. It's him, it's his life in me. Galatians 2:20. If you're looking for a life verse, learn and memorize that. It's Christ's life in me is what my life is, right? So by this, knowing and believing, do I know and believe in God and his love. It goes on to say, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So what this is talking about is, when I know that God loves me, I don't fear his presence anymore. I reverence him in his presence. He's God. He's awesome. He's spoken. The universe came to being. He is God. But I don't fear him. I am loved by him. And when I have that kind of love in me, I don't worry about punishment. I don't worry about death because God's love, he loves me. I don't fear this. Fear has to do with punishment, the verse said, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Basically what that's saying is you haven't fully understood the love of God. If you still live in this, God's going to be like, strike me down when I do something and screw up, then your love understanding of the love of God is incomplete. You haven't fully really grasped the love that God has for you. Jesus, Christmas is coming, is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Good. Yeah. God came to us. Why? He loves us. He loves us. That's why Jesus came as Emmanuel. It's God's expression of his heart of love for us. Loved, knowing that I am loved, knowing and believing the love that God has for me is the cross, communion today. Understanding that what Jesus did on the cross was for me and you and this whole sin-sick, broken confused world, Christ's love coming means forgiven, relationship restored. That was his desire and intent all along. Ours was to wander off our own way and do things my way. God's is to bring us back to his way under his love and the blessings that are fulfilled in his commands and his teaching. Fear is punishment. Fear is God's just up there testing me. He's just watching me to try to say, nope, that was a C. No, that was an F. You blew that one. Well, you did pretty good on that one. That was a B plus. You're not going to get an A from me. Yeah. We look at God as one of those teachers that I don't give anybody an A. That's not. God is a God who his desire is to restore. That's the whole point of Easter and Christmas, is to bring us back into his family, right? By this knowing and believing that will your love be perfected. And when your love is perfected, there is no fear in love. You want to learn how to live without fear? Understand the depth of God's love for you. And then, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. So when we understand how much God loves us, we learn how to love others. No matter the situation, God with us. The last question to settle, learning how to live without fear or live in the midst of fear. What is my treasure? We talked about this at our men's group Thursday last week. Was it this week? I think it was this week. What is my treasure? This has a lot to do with the things that we fear in this world. It really, really does. This verse that we read said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, and who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Everything he had for this one pearl of great price. You've heard that term, the pearl of greatest, great price, right? What's our treasure? What would it kill us to lose? What do we just worry all the time about losing in this world? The reality is we've been bought with a price, right? As believers, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. The price, the cost being the precious body and blood of Jesus, God the Son. Great cost. Without Jesus, we were beggars. We were poor. We were dead in our sin. We had nothing. We literally had nothing before Jesus. No hope, no love. We had nothing. And then with Jesus, we've been adopted. We've been made and welcomed into his family to be his sons and daughters. Why? Because he loves us so much. He wants to do everything to gather his beloved creation. We are made co-heirs with Christ. All that the kingdom has to offer, all of God's riches, eternally and presently, become ours as we become co-heirs, adopted into his family. We become partakers, part of his kingdom, part of what God is doing in this world. That's awesome. We went from having nothing to having everything, riches of God. Often our fear comes from what we value. Oftentimes we value our safety over our fidelity to God. We value our security, keeping it safe, over our obedience to the kingdom commands. Sometimes our personal wants take priority over our kingdom identity, who I am as a follower of Jesus. My wants take priority. And our fear comes with, I might lose my treasure. I might lose this. So we hang on to things. We hang on to this little piece of eternity. Sometimes to the point where we are so hanging on to this that we never let go and receive eternal life and eternal salvation. And we hit this little spot where our life on this earth ends, and we find ourselves still lost because we didn't want to lose the things that we're working all this really hard during the middle of our lives. I'll work my tail off for 30 years so that I can really enjoy the last 10 or 20 years of my life in retirement. What? Do you see how silly that is? I saw Francis Chan do this illustration once, and it was so impactful that I'm like, it speaks the truth. We get all worked up over this little bit so that we can retire and enjoy this little bit, and we forget about what goes on forever. What's my treasure? Remember I said we're not, this world without problems and fear and struggle it's an impossible thing, right? But sometimes our treasure is what we were never promised. Safety, finances, comfort, a pain-free life. We weren't promised those things, but it becomes our treasure, right? We're opening up the treasure box. That's what I want to find in there. When we let go of those things as a treasure, when we stop fearing losing money and security and people's acceptance, the fear melts away. Take it. Take it away. It doesn't matter. Take my whatever it is, fill in the blank. Take my security, take my money, take my job, take my house, take my toys. I can be just as full of joy without them as I can with them. You see how the fear falls away when our treasure becomes what we were created to treasure? What are we created to treasure? Jesus. We take Jesus into our jobs. He's our treasure. We take Jesus into our homes, our families. You find that you will be able to find happiness and peace, and the fear begins to melt away when we are not hanging on to things we were never promised. What's my treasure? In this world, my treasure is the cross of Christ, what he did for me. I still can think of this time in my life when Jesus, I was just going back over a song that I wrote in November of 1986. That was the season when I first came to faith in Christ. And I'm like, man, that was when my life took a totally different turn, and I found peace and I found joy. And it's called Changing, was the name of the song. Things are changing in me, man, and God was doing that in my life. That's That's what I cling to, that God that is still at work in my life. So those four questions, how do you live without fear? How do you live with fear? If you were to settle one of these questions, and I'm going to throw this out, I'd like us to dialogue together a little bit about this. Is God kind of pointed to one of these areas in your life? And let's kind of have a little conversation together. If one of these questions could be settled, which one would help you to live with fear? The stuff of life that causes that reaction that we have to run to God for. Is it the question of life is eternal or 40, 100 years, whatever? Is it the question of is God real? That, wow, if I was to really grapple with that and come to the place of saying, no, God is real. In the midst of this, he is real. Or do I really understand how much God loves me? I don't know if I do. That he would really take care of me no matter what's going on in my life. God loves me. Do I really understand that? Or the question, what's my treasure? What have I been putting as the thing that I worry most about losing? Has that become my treasure, my pearl of greatest price? So, are any of these questions things that the Lord just kind of put his finger on for you that I think if I was to really, God would help me to deal with this, I would be able to live with the fear that God takes care of and I can put in his hands and I begin to cast my fears, my cares, my anxieties on him. Any of those jump out at you? I'm going to come down and because I want us to have a dialogue together.
So appreciate that, brother. It's got to be for me the combination of the last two. You know, putting my trust in and loving in God's love for me and making him my treasure. And I can see God's convicted me that I've put other things, that they compete with him, and that's where worry comes from.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Come back up. I see Donna back here.
The only times I don't have trouble is when I replace the fear with faith.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's where when we put this in the perspective of God, that, yeah, it's not that we never have fear, but we know what to do with the fear. We find what to do with it. Yeah. Who was it? Who did I see? Kevin.
So mine is, what is my treasure? I recently got a new job, and it's heavily automotive, and because of the GM strike, we were real slow. And the worry started washing over me. And one day I just went to work and I just prayed and let God take it. And just, I was just overwhelmed with, no matter what happens, it's God's love that protects me, that keeps me going. And even if I lost this job, I still have God's love. I still have the love of my wife. I still have these treasures that he gave me. So it's hard to, when life is weighing down on you and worry, mm-hmm, and trouble and anxiety, just it's hard to just be happy. Well, but we can do it through his love. And that's the other part, knowing his love for us. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
Just to piggyback a little bit, what I have to remember is that I might not always be happy, but I can always have joy, because the joy of the Lord is so much bigger than any happiness I would have on earth.
Mm-hmm.
I echo my brother. I'm the opposite end. I've been at my job 32 years, and I have a bad time of being too negative sometimes. I need to know God's, you know, treasure is love, and I just need not to worry or not to be negative. I should be grateful every day for what I have, and that's what I need to do.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty powerful.
I think through much of my life I've struggled with that, do I know God's love, because my head knows it, but sometimes getting that because I don't feel worthy, you know, and I think, can God really love me that much? And he's worked on me throughout the years, and I know that a lot more now, and sometimes I'll get stuck on that treasure, but when I'm worrying about the treasures, what comes back to is God loves me, and he cares about that even more than I do, you know, my treasures being like my family, my children. That's usually where my worries come in. And I have to go back to that reality that my mind knows and remind my heart that God loves me and he values me and he values what's important to me too.
Yeah.
My children and my family.
Yeah, that's he knows what is important to us. He cares about what we care about, doesn't he? He really does. He really does. Terry. Hey.
It doesn't matter what people do to me, where I go, what happens to me, circumstances. What matters is I know where I'm going to end up in the end, where I'm going to be for eternity with the Lord.
Amen.
It gets me through everything.
He's given us that promise that nothing in this world, right? Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So lots of stuff might happen. Lots of things we might struggle with in this world. But there's not a thing on this earth that can steal that from us. Praise God. Amen. Let's see Mark go back here.
I haven't been given to the Lord like I should or read the Bible, but he's always took care of me. Always had a roof over my head. And I took a nasty fall a while ago. And,
yes, you did.
You know, some people could be stuck with that bill, but praise the Lord, he helped me again there. And I just quit my job like back in June. And I'm having a rough time about like not working and stuff, but I know he's going to take care of that problem too.
Amen, brother. Yeah, it's. I mean, those are some of the things you're talking about. These are significant, serious, everyday struggles that we're going through. This is not just, you know, light and fluffy stuff. This is the nuts and bolts of our lives, and God truly does love us, and he meets us right there. Les.
I just was relating to the first one with life is, all I can say is just knowing he's constantly there for you takes away all fears.
Amen. Yep, he has promised never to what? Never to leave us, never to forsake us. And that's such a powerful, powerful promise. Karen?
Mine is, what is my treasure? Actually, I'm struggling with fear and anxiety a lot lately because I think of the two health issues I've had lately and my mom passing. And I think just my mortality and not having the control that I thought that I had. I thought because I've always been relatively healthy, I've got everything, but now my body's challenging me, so I have to surrender my treasure of perfect health or whatever that is to whatever he has.
Well, we will be perfect in heaven, but the realities of life on earth get scary. They get scary. Those are the really nuts and bolts when we say, all right, God, this is completely out of my ability to control. I just need you. And he's real, and he loves us. Well, praise God. You know how I would like to close, if we could, just for a couple of minutes. Maybe break up into groups of about six or eight, and let's just take maybe 3 or 4 minutes to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world and ask the Lord to be with them as they are, they're losing their lives, they're losing their livelihoods, they're being arrested, they're being imprisoned. This is real. This is real stuff. So just don't worry about numbers. 6, 8, 10, I don't care. Just get in some groups, and just a few of you, short prayers, and let's pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. And as your group is finished, just say amen, and you can begin to break up and allow other people to continue praying around you. But we'll let you dismiss yourselves, okay?